Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's go to the Word of God today. In Exodus chapter 16. And we'll go right to verse 4. Hallelujah. John, you can have the scripture?
Yes, you are.
John, Big John's on the ball. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank God for Cross River. We thank God that a couple years ago you kind of anointed us as your missionaries, and we are happy to be that, and we're especially happy and blessed for your prayers. And we were praying for you when you went. That was awesome. We heard the Gomez's continually talking about the blessing it was, and they looking forward to another time. Hallelujah. Exodus 16:4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." Listen, this bread would be rained every day. But before we get to that text, let's go back to where we were. Can we bring ourselves back to our Egyptian bondage? And each one of us has a testimony of before you got saved. Well, this is the same for the children of Israel. Slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Slaves to Pharaoh. And now God tells Moses, "Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go." And then we know the miracle after miracle, Pharaoh did not let him go. But then when God said, "This night the death angel shall come, and you are to take blood, and the firstborn, all of Egypt will die, but you take blood and put it on the doorpost and header of the house, and you get in the house, and when I see the blood, I will pass over, the death angel will pass over." And that's exactly what happened. And they were delivered that night from Egyptian bondage after 400 years. So that's a type of our salvation. Amen?
Amen.
So I was 37 years before I come to know the Lord. So I was 37 years in bondage to the devil, to my sin nature, to the things of the world. Well, now they go out into the wilderness. Of course, they had to cross the Red Sea, and then God led them to the wilderness. He brought them there. So he brought us here now. We're saved by the blood, and we're in the wilderness. Amen?
Uh-huh.
And we're talking about our scripture. But before they get to this point, they come to the bitter waters of Marah. And a lot of you know the story, but they couldn't drink the water. It was bitter. Here's 3 million Jews, and they're thirsty. They're in the wilderness and out of Egypt for just a few days in the wilderness, and they're thirsty. And some of us are thirsty. Amen? You might be spiritually thirsty today. But God brought us here, and he hasn't forgot us. And the water might be bitter around us. There might be things going on in your life, in our life, my life, that are tough. But God told Moses what to do. Take the tree, a type of the cross, and put the tree in the waters, and the waters were made sweet. So we have to put the cross back into our walk, back into our lives. Quit looking for a different source of water. Quit trying to figure out what we're going to do with the bitter water. Put that tree, put the cross back in our lives, and it will be made sweet. Now they go a little further in the wilderness, and they're hungry. And even in verse 3, let's look at that, Brother John. The children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." You see, sometimes we get hungry for the things of God. We don't understand why the situation that we're in, or how God's going to possibly bring us through our finances, our spiritual well-being, our children might be disrespectful, or whatever the need is, God has a plan. And if you're hungry today, this word is for you. Because he said, verse 4, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you.'" The bread is a type of Christ, his broken body on the cross. Amen?
Yes.
That's this whole message today is Jesus being the bread. And it comes from heaven. You see that? It doesn't come from the earth up. It doesn't come from another source. It comes from heaven. Who's going to give it? God. God's going to give you the manna. He's going to give you the bread. God gave us Christ. He rains the bread from heaven for us. And the Holy Spirit is always a type of water, and the Holy Spirit may be, in this case, a type of the rain. The rain is a type of the Holy Spirit giving us that manna, pointing us to Christ. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day. We have to go back to the broken body of Christ on the cross every day. We have to every day apply what Jesus did for us so we're not hungry. Now picture yourself back there. If you're one of them and you're wearing a toga or something, you got sandals on, try and put yourself back there. And Brother Goldstein here, he doesn't want to, I'm not going to go get that manna today. I'm sick of that manna. I'm not going to go back to the cross. I'm not going to go back to the source of that food. I mean, I'm tired of it, man. We've been eating this stuff for years. Right? Do you know anybody like that? I mean, have you experienced it yourself in your own life? I guess, oh, this cross thing, this blood, this broken body, this bread, this Jesus, I don't know. Isn't it enough yet? I mean, I'm a little tired of it, so I'm not eating today. And maybe I don't eat the next day. And then I start getting really hungry. And I start looking for something else. And I'm going to look for whatever I can find that's going to satisfy me. Guess what? It won't. There's nothing else out there. There's nothing new under the sun. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's the broken body of Jesus that takes care of our hunger. For the things of God, for our physical needs, for our spiritual needs, for our finances, everything. We have to gather it every day.
Yes.
Every day. Because if you don't, you're going to starve away.
Amen.
And when you starve away, pretty soon you're going to get a bitter and unforgiveness is going to come into your heart. And you're not going to understand why this isn't working. I tried this program. Somebody told me to go over here. Somebody told me to try this. And I read that book and his CD. And I gave that $1,000 to that guy on TV or whatever. And you've tried all these things. Or you've tried your own plans and your own systems. I'll do this or I'll do that. No, there's only one place to get the manna. There's only one person who sends the manna. That's God. And that's a type of Christ's body. You have to get it every day. A certain quota, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. Okay, the law, the Ten Commandments, had not been given yet. So he's not talking about the Ten Commandments. Amen? He's not talking about the Ten Commandments. You can't keep the Ten Commandments anyway. We can't, I can't, you can't. Hello? You know, love your neighbor as yourself 24/7. I like Don, but every minute. A few times, you know. No, this is not the law he's talking about. What is the law he's talking about? Whether they walk in my law? He just gave it to us. Go gather the manna every day. That's the law he's talking about. That's what he's saying. I will provide. I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people go out and gather a certain quota every day. That's the law. This test is to test our faith. Whether or not we will look to that finished work of Christ, being the broken bread on the cross of Christ. On the cross, I mean. Amen?
Amen?
So that is the test. That is what he's doing. He wants to know if he'll walk in our law. Now look at that word, behold, in the Greek, Hebrew, it is used to express strong feelings, used to answer in the first person. So this is God. Behold. First, it's very intense, the first person. The bread, of course, is the type of Christ's broken body. And it's not from the earth. It's from heaven. Amen? From heaven, it says. Hallelujah. Okay, now let's jump to verse 15 for time's sake. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" Well, the word manna actually means, "What is it?" That's actually the word means, "What is it?" And a lot of the church world right now is saying that. What is it? What is all this fuss about the broken body of Christ? I mean, he died for my salvation. Thank you very much. But no, we're to gather every day. We're to go back to that finished work every day for our power source, for our hunger, for our thirst. Every single day. They said to him, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given to eat." So it's very important for us to understand it's from God. It's a type of His Son's broken body on the cross. and it satisfies all our needs. And the Lord gave it to eat. Verse 16. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. You understand? It's a command from God. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person, according to the number of the persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. The Lord commanded for us to gather for every need. Now look at, you know, someone needs their electric bill paid, and someone else needs healing from cancer. Someone else needs a person in their family to be saved, and someone else has their car is not running right. I mean, the needs are great and small, but the answer is the same. And like Sister Doreen said, we go to the finished work of Christ for the answer for these things. And everything is found there according to each one's need. Look at verse 17. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less, whatever the need was. So when they measured it, verse 18, by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. If you go gather this manna, a type of Christ's broken body, if you go back to the finished work of the cross, your needs will be met. You can't look to the left or the right. You can't get it any other way. No man can give you a program or system. You can't look to yourself. Now look at going to church is a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. You hear the word of God, and we all should go. But if your faith is in your church giving you that sustenance, or your pastor, or yourself, or any other thing that you're doing, it's going to be misplaced faith. He's testing us to see if we're going to go to the manna to gather that bread. It's a command from the Lord, a command to gather it. Amen? Yeah. Everyone must gather it. And then verse 19 says, let no one leave any of it till morning. It's not to be wasted. And in the morning it'll rot. The next day, as we know, the manna will rot. We must gather it each day. Jesus said that. We talked about it on the radio last night in Luke 9:23. He said, if any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Well, we all want to follow him. We want to go after him, right? So let him deny himself. And he didn't mean deny yourself this beautiful building that you're praying about, or deny yourself nice clothing. He gives us these things. He blesses us. No, deny your own strength. You can't do it. You can't be religious enough. You're not going to be a happy Christian and a prosperous, joyful Christian. And I'm not talking money here. If you don't apply the principle that God has laid out in His Word. And that is, Jesus Christ paid for everything on the cross. The shed blood of Jesus paid for everything. Amen? So we have to go there each and every day, and not to anything else. Amen? So let's move on now and fast forward about 2,000 years. And we're going to go to John chapter 6. And we'll go to verse 5. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord. John chapter 6, verse 5. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Jesus is asking them a hypothetical question. He already knows the answer. Where shall we buy the food to feed these people? Where should we buy bread that these may eat? You can't buy the bread he's getting ready to give. It's not for sale. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. There's nothing you can do except go to the bread that God provides. And we know that's Christ. Amen? So where shall we buy that bread? Where should we get it? The world doesn't have it. Verse 6 says, but this he said to test them, for he himself knew what he would do. What is the test? Will we go back and gather the manna that God provided? Will we look to the finished work of Christ when we're hungry, when the need is there? Or will we go to something else? Or will we try and make our own little program up, or buy a book off the shelf of a Christian bookstore that has a totally different plan to have victory over sin, or to heal your body, or fast your way to victory over another problem, or whatever it might be? Will we look to him? Where can we get it? He said to test him, for he knew what he'd do. He knew that he was going to multiply the loaves of bread, and he knew also that he would go to the cross to provide his broken body for us. He knew what he was going to do. But he said that to test them. Verse 7, he says, Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. See, man can't supply these great needs. They can't. One of his disciples, Andrew, verse 8 says, Simon Peter's brother said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish.
Right.
But what are they among so many? Amen? This is to get us to verse 10. Verse 10 says this. Jesus said, make the people sit down.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm. Sit down. 5,000 men, women and children, sit down. I got this. I'm going to provide the bread. And we're going to see later in the chapter, he is the bread of life. He will provide. But the first thing we have to do is sit down. Stop all this. There were two preachers. They were talking, and the one preacher visited the other guy's church and said, take a look at this. Take a look at this apparatus we have in our church in the back. And it's this great big 30-foot tall thing, and belts and pulleys are going left to right. It's going boom, 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 boom. And over here it's going cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And over here the smoke's coming out the stack. And the preacher says, isn't it impressive? And he goes, yeah, it's really something. It's amazing. And look at these belts. Look at this long thing here. And this hopper feeds over here. And the guys go, wow, that's incredible. What does it do? And the other preacher said, what does it do? What do you mean, what does it do? Look at it. Look at it. We can't do anything except sit down. Yes. Jesus is teaching us a very valuable lesson here. We're not going to be able to receive this bread unless we sit down. And I'm talking to the Christian now. I'm not talking to the unbeliever, but if you're an unbeliever, you also have to sit down to receive it. But Jesus is teaching his disciples. And he says, sit down. Make the people sit down. Rest. We must cease from our own works to receive this bread. If you're working and doing and going and moving and shaking, you're not going to be in a position to receive. Amen. Verse 11. Well, let me finish 10. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. So if your situation's impossible, whatever your need, if you're depressed, if your finances are a mess, if you need healing in your body or one of your family members, if there's any need whatsoever, the first thing we've got to do is sit down and rest in the finished work. Because we're not going to be able to receive this bread. So, the men sat down in number 5,000. Verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves. Not a pastor. Not somebody, not a guru. Not your favorite preacher on TV. Not your spouse. No one can do this except Christ. Alright? It's only him. It's only him. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks. Well, Jesus is teaching us. What are we supposed to do once we sit down? Just thank you, yes. God. Thank you, yes. Father. Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
My daughter needs healing. Thank you, God.
Yes,
I receive it.
Yes.
I need my finances healed. I'm broke, and the bill collector, I mean, thank you, Father.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you
for sending the bread.
Yes.
We have to be in that position.
Yes.
Then Jesus,
Jesus
distributes. He says, yes. He gave thanks, and he distributed it to the disciples. Now, he distributes it to the disciples. And that word disciple, I looked it up. It was really interesting. It's mathates, M-A-T-H-A-Y, mathates. It's more than just a follower. It's an adherent. Now, give me that again. It's an adherent who accepts the instruction given to him and makes it his rule of conduct. It makes it a law for him. He accepts what he's told to do. Just like in the wilderness of old. They were to go collect the manna every day. We have to go collect the manna every day. We have to go back to the broken body of Christ on the cross every day for everything we need. And we can't do it if we're running around trying to do something else. He gives thanks, distributes to his disciples. And the disciples... Are you ready? To those who are sitting down. Now the Holy Spirit's trying to get a point across here in two little verses. In verse 10, Jesus says, make the people sit down. And then again in verse 10, so the men sat down. And now in verse 11, he distributes to the disciples, and the disciples distributed to those sitting down. If you're not sitting down, you're not going to receive this. Stop trying to earn this thing. To work for it. I'm talking to myself. Yes. You're not going to satisfy yourself.
Yes. Pretty good.
Amen? You've got to sit down to receive this. This is the word of the Lord. And likewise, the fish, as much as they wanted. As much as we want if we're sat down.
Wow.
Sit down. So when they were filled, hallelujah,
yes.
They were filled that day. They were filled. Hallelujah. We can be filled for everything and every need in our lives if we sit down. And then he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. This is a very precious commodity.
Okay.
It's just like Sister Doreen said, we need to go tell people. If we receive it ourselves, now go share it with others. A lot of you in this room, I know you. Because I've been here for years now and I recognize you. And you've received the message. Go share it with someone. Don't back down. Sing it in song like they have today and preach it to your neighbor and tell your loved ones, because it's not anything you can earn. It's the bread of life. And Jesus is going to show us that. Hallelujah. So fivefold minister, you're a disciple, you're an adherent to what you've been told, fivefold minister, go distribute the bread. Nothing else, only the bread.
Yes, that's right.
Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Only the bread that was multiplied, and the fish, which is also a type of Christ. Hallelujah. So the instruction that we're being taught is we must sit down to receive it. We must sit down, and then once we receive it, we will be made full. Amen? As much as we want. Okay, let's jump to verse 27. Stay with me now. This is the next day. Are you with me?
Yes.
This is the next day. Okay? That was yesterday. We still got our togas and sandals on. And we're going through the wilderness. By the way, they were in the wilderness in Exodus. They're in the wilderness now.
Right.
They were hungry then. They're hungry now. There was no food to buy then. There's no food to buy now. So, the parallel, the typology in the Old Testament just shows us exactly what we're going through then, and why would it be any different 2,000 years later, which is today? It's the same. We're still the same kind of people, needy people. So he says in verse 27, Jesus speaking, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Every time the Word of God uses the Son of Man, it's talking about the cross. How do I know that? Because it would take a man to redeem man.
Amen.
It would be a man have to come, Jesus, to die on the cross. That's why he's called the Son of God, the Son of Man. In order to pay the price that we couldn't pay. So when you see in the Bible the Son of Man, which you see several places, he's talking about what he would do on the cross. He's the Son of Man and the Son of God. All man, all God. 100% man and 100% God. Everything Jesus did on this earth, he did as a man led by the Holy Spirit. He did not use his deity, his powers of his Godhead to accomplish the miracles, to do anything else. The Holy Spirit led him all the way. It would take that man to pay the price for us men. Now he says this in verse 28, John. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" What must we do? Think about it right now. That we might work the works of God. And Jesus answered and said to them, verse 29, "This is the work of God, that you believe upon the one whom he sent." Now, this is Christ speaking. This is the word of God. This is not the gospel according to Brother Burrett or Pastor Mike or Cross River or Jimmy Swaggart Ministries or anything else. This is what Christ said. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. Now let me teach you something. That word work in the Greek is ergon. You're going to love this. Ergon. It means what you're occupied with. It means your occupation. Our work is what our occupation is, what we're occupied with. It's a noun. The word ergon, the word work, is a noun. It's not an action word. It's a person, place, or thing. Mm-hmm. A plumber, that's his work. Today, he's laboring, putting in a toilet or changing a water line. That's his labor. The word labor is koptos. It comes from kopto. It's a verb. It means to expend energy. You get it? Work, labor, two different things. I'm laboring right now for the Lord. But my work is faith in Christ. That's it. If my faith is in Christ, my labor, according to 1 Corinthians 15:58, will not be in vain. But if my work is right, and my faith is in Christ, and I believe on him, that's it. My faith is in what Christ did, then my labor won't be in vain. So our work, Christian, is to believe God all over the world. We are known in Russia and China, and I don't care where you go, we are known as believers. And what do we believe? What is the international symbol of Christianity? A cross. We believe in the cross. We believe that what Jesus did on the cross pays for everything.
Right.
Amen? It takes care of it. It's our manna.
Yes,
it's our bread. He's the bread.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
So our work is to keep our faith in him. Well, that means you don't have to do anything. Oh, no, no, no. No. He will call you to do many things. He will call to whatever he calls you to do. But you can't do it if your work is not right. You won't get it done. The Holy Spirit cannot help you. If your faith is in anything else, the Holy Spirit cannot help you. He won't glorify another. Your faith must be in Christ. He came to glorify Jesus. So your work, your faith in Christ, if you believe on the one whom he sent, then your labor will be prosperous and fruitful. Amen?
Yeah.
So make sure your work is right. Verse 29 says, this is the work of God, that you believe in whom he sent, the one whom he sent. Verse 30, therefore they said to him, are you ready for this answer? This shocked me when I was doing this last week. Therefore they said to him, oh, what sign will you perform then, that we might see it and believe you? What work will you do? He just fed them.
Yeah. Come on now.
Thousands of loaves of bread in the wilderness with no chance of getting it anywhere else. And they're already just like we are. Just like we are. How are you going to do this? Just show us. Lord, come on. Perform a miracle. The church is running around looking for the manifestations of God instead of looking for God. We need to be looking for Him and putting our faith in Him, not faith in what we see. I thank the Lord that little 9-year-old girl hand got healed. But my faith isn't in that healing, and even the other people. And we make sure when we preach and show them, don't put your faith in those manifestations. Thank God. I think we would see a lot more, Pastor Mike, if our faith was, as a body in America, for example, if our faith was right. We're seeing a lot more in other countries. We're seeing a lot more healings. Pastor, or Brother Steve's been with us. We see it. You know, you guys saw it. Because of why? Because our faith is right. Hallelujah. All right. So right away, what work will you perform? Verse 31, they say to him, our fathers ate man in the desert. And it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Moses did not give them the bread. The bread rained down from heaven.
That's right.
Man can't give us this bread.
Yes.
It comes from God,
yes,
the Father.
Yes.
And it was His Son, Jesus. He's the bread. When we're hungry, we got to go to the bread. We're not going to be satisfied anywhere else. Jesus said it. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Verse 33. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is the bread. He was the bread in the wilderness, in Exodus. He's the bread in 2,000 years ago in the wilderness with the disciples and the 5,000. And He's the bread today. Nothing's new. Nothing's changed. It's Christ. He is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He gave life to me. He gave life to you if you're born again and you're saved. He gave you life. It's Jesus that gives life. Thank God for the pastors and fivefold ministry and the churches and all the Christian disciplines. But they didn't give me life. No, they're just a fruit. They're a result of the receiving the bread after I finally sat down. Because I wasn't sitting down. I wasn't even trying to sit down. But when I finally said, God, I'm a sinner and I can't do this, He went, it's about time. I already took care of it. It is finished. Amen. And now, I know that He's the bread. I know that He came from heaven. I know He gives me life. And they said to Him, Lord, give us this bread always. And verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Now He's talking pretty plain. Jesus is just telling us, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So why do we go other places?
All right.
Why are we running around to other programs? Why are we trying to sanctify ourselves? Why are we trying to make ourselves holy? What are we trying to do? That all we do is receive it. And you have to sit down and just rest in the finished work of Christ.
Amen. Yes, that's good.
And now your labor won't be in vain.
Amen.
And you'll have abundant life. And you'll have fruit of the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit always, always points to Jesus. Does not point to us. Does not point to our church. Does not point to another man. Does not point to my 5 chapters I read a day. Or fasting twice a week, or any other thing that's all good. But He does not point to that. The Holy Spirit only points to Christ and the shed blood. Because that's where the bread was broken. And the only 2 commands that Jesus left us with was the baptism in water, which is a type of our death, going under the water and raised to newness of life in Christ. And what we call communion, or breaking the bread and wine. And we do this in remembrance of Him, the broken body of Christ, which is His death, and the shed blood poured out on the cross. 2 things, our death and His death.
Yes.
That's the only 2 ordinances that we're to keep.
Yes.
One of them is a one-time ordinance, an outward profession of your faith in Christ. And the other one's an ongoing remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross.
Thank you, Jesus.
Breaking that bread. A type of His broken body on the cross. Hallelujah. And you'll never hunger again, and you'll never thirst. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Okay, so it's a promise from God. It's a promise. Do you see it? You will never thirst again. If you believe in me, it doesn't say you have to do this or do that. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you shall never thirst and you shall never hunger. Glory to God. Amen? All right, now let's jump to verse 48 and plainly see again Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Now, the next few verses are going to get a little hard to understand. And the religious scribes and Pharisees of old, they had no clue. And you'll see that. But you can understand this. Let the Holy Spirit show you. He says, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus came down, gave his life on the cross, and we have eternal life because of that. Amen?
Yes.
We have eternal life, and that's the only reason. Thank God for the virgin birth. He had to be born without sin. Thank God for the miracles, but they didn't save me. Thank God for the resurrection. It proved that he was the Son of God and did what he said he came to do. But make no mistake, he gave his body on that cross. He gave and died and shed his blood so we might have life and life more abundantly. And we have eternal life. Amen? So that broken body that came down from heaven, if we eat of it, we shall not die. He says in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, talking about the cross, which I shall give for the life of the world, talking about the cross. He gave himself, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, on the cross, he gave his life. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The only way we can have life. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They didn't understand. Then Jesus said to them, verse 53, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. We have no life outside of the cross. No life for the Christian outside of the cross. If you accept and receive Christ's broken body on the cross for salvation only, and turn and go your own way and try and sanctify yourself and make yourself holy and do all these things, then you're going exactly the opposite direction that the Lord has said to go.
That's right.
Right.
You cannot, and you never will, be able to sanctify yourself. You can't set yourself apart. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. I told it on the radio last night. It just comes to mind. You know, I got saved, and I was saved 1 year, and I was a pretty accomplished billiard player. And I was in a tournament, and I won this pretty big tournament. And I came out of there, and I drove away. Within 150 feet, the Lord said this. I was not in that. And I knew exactly what he meant. Because in order to win that tournament, you got to walk around the table pretty cocky, and the guy you're playing against has got to know that if he misses, you're going to run the table. You know, it's intimidation, a lot of it is. Not always the best player that wins, it's the best showman, really, a lot of this. When you get certain in those tournaments. But anyway, the Lord said, I was not in that.
All right.
And I knew that for me, I couldn't play pool anymore. You understand? Didn't say Brother Steve, Brother Mike, Don. They can't. They can play. They can play. But I did not set myself apart from shooting pool. You cannot set. I didn't do it. The Lord set me apart. I don't want you to shoot pool. Thank God. All right. If you set yourself apart, well, I don't go to that kind of movie. Well, then you're setting yourself apart, and now you got a problem because you're sanctifying yourself. And what happens with that is you try and start sanctifying everybody else with you. The Lord told my wife in 1998, February 4th, don't eat refined sugar. Well, that's a big deal. Eric and Sandy are here, they'll tell you that was a big deal. We didn't get to eat it either. All of a sudden, the cakes didn't taste the same. Like, why doesn't this cake taste the same? Well, I didn't use the regular sugar. And there was an experimentation which continues today. But to this day, she doesn't eat sugar. But the Lord told her not to eat sugar. She didn't stop. It wasn't her idea, you understand? But she, and this is her testimony, I won't step on her too hard, but she was thinking maybe you shouldn't either, Marshall, eat sugar. And Brother Steve, you know, it's not good for you. So she is, you know, trying to push that, because if you try and sanctify yourself and do this on your own, then you're not going to get it done. But she recognized, and the Lord showed her through a man, what did he say to you?
When God told Peter when he was walking on the water, and Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And the Lord said, come. And this guy, he's just, we're in church, and he turns around.
He doesn't know anything about it.
And he says, the Lord told Peter to come. He didn't tell the other disciples. If one of the other disciples got out of the boat and tried to walk on the water, they would have sunk because that command was for Peter. And that's all he said. Mm-hmm. But I knew God told me. I told you not to eat sugar. I wasn't telling you to tell everyone else not to.
Hallelujah. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So this sanctification process, this faith walk that we're in, is individual. It's individual. And what's law for one person is grace to another. It depends on where the Lord has you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
That's good.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So he said, you must eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, or you have no life in you. Verse 54. Now get this. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. Now look at this word eats. I looked it up. You got it? Verse 54. It's a present active participle. What does that mean? It's continuously eats. It's not a one-time eat. You must continually eat. Whoever eateth, it means it's a continuous participle. Which to you English literature people, you know what that means. To me it means continuous. That means I have to go there every day. I have to go there every day and eat Christ's flesh and drink his blood. Wow. But that's what the message of the cross is. That's what the message of the cross is. That's when the Holy Spirit said that the message of the cross, the Holy Spirit said that the message, I said the Holy Spirit said the message of the cross is to us that are saved the power of God. It's not a man-made thing. The Holy Spirit said it. So what did he mean? What Jesus did on the cross by shedding his blood, by breaking his body, by giving us his body, to us is the power of God. So we have to eateth his flesh and drinketh, same thing, continuously, his blood to have eternal life. And then we were raised up on the last day. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 55. Almost done. For my flesh is food indeed. Hello. And my blood is drink indeed. Talking about the cross again. Where do we get our sustenance? Where do we live? Where are you living? Where are you trying to get fed, Brother Pauly? Where? Where? You know, we got to look to that broken body. We got to look to that shed blood. Every day we got to go collect that manna. And you can't collect it unless you're sitting down. You're not going to get this if you're trying to do it on your own. You must rest, and then it just, there it is. And when you get this message, you have liberty. You have freedom. You have peace. You have joy. If you're angry, if you're bitter, if you've got unforgiveness, if you're self-righteous, if you think that nobody else is doing it right but you, you got a problem. There's only one way. And Jesus said, I'm the way. He said it. He said the cross, that is where the bread and the blood was served. Hallelujah. That's where it was served. Glory to God. Verse 56. He who eats my flesh, boy, he's not letting up. Jesus is speaking. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. That word abide, dwelleth, continuously, not one time, a continuous dwelling. You dwell in him. Amen? This is good stuff, man.
Yes, it is.
If you can get this, if you can start living this, you will have abundant life. You will, when the pressures come and you're not, things aren't going right, you will rest in Christ. You will believe God. Because your work is your faith in Christ. Then these things will fall into place. But if your faith is in anything else, when a trial comes and a temptation comes, you will be a mess. You won't know where to go. You won't have abundant life. You won't be dwelling in Him.
Yes.
And I in Him and Him in us. Mm-hmm. Verse 57. As the living Father sends me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds, come on now, continuously feeds, not fed, not the one-time day of salvation, but he who feeds on me will live because of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Life begins when we eat the bread, but we must ever look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He started it, we let him finish it.
Yes.
Glory to God. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. So the test is our test of faith. He gave it to test us. Let me finish with this. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, Big John. It says this. When we stand before God, and we're all going to stand before God. He's either going to be our judge or our Savior. Amen?
Amen.
And picture yourself right now. Try and just in your mind's eye. You take your last breath. And you stand before God, and there's Jesus. And his nail scars are in his hands. And this is what we say. And they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They overcame the devil. This is our testimony. By the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. By the shed blood of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. And by the word of our testimony. Now, what is going to be the word of our testimony standing before Jesus? I overcame by the blood of the Lamb, and I was a missionary in the Philippines, or I went to Mexico, or I was a pastor of Cross River, or I did this, or I... No. No, 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 no. When you're standing before Jesus, come on. I overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Look what Jesus did.
Amen.
He saved me. He healed me. He filled me. He delivered me. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. That's going to be our testimony. We're not going to be talking about ourselves. We're going to be talking about Christ. Think of it. We're not going to be saying, whoa, did you see
Jesus?
No, no, no. And they loved not their lives unto the death. We got to die. We got to die. We have to die to self. We have to give up. It's a daily thing. Every day, we have to die to self. We have to say, I can't do it. But I believe that Jesus did it. For every single need. For every single thing. Everybody stand, please. Hallelujah. What do you need today? What do you need? What is it that you need? The manna has been sent from heaven. His name is Jesus. He gave his life on that cross. He shed his life's blood. And everything we need comes through that. Are you sitting down? Jesus said, make the people sit down. Are you trusting him for everything? Or is that one area of your life when you think that you can do this or do that and get victory over this sin problem, or take care of this spiritual problem yourself, or bring someone you love into conformance to you? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Sister Doreen, like, man, everybody shouldn't eat sugar. Because if you get looking to yourself as the source, then that's what you're going to do. Man likes to try and conform man to man, to himself. But a true disciple will want to conform men into the image of Christ. You see? We need to point people to Christ. We need to look to Christ. So whatever your need is, let's just quietly step out of our seat and not make a big problem out of it, or, you know, a big show of it. But let's just come forward and receive the manna today. Let's just come forward as we play softly, Charlie, and ask God, you know, and just tell God, I believe the manna. And no big confessional thing. Just thank him, because that's what he said. Give thanks. Amen? Let's just give him thanks. Amen? Step out and come up forward. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.